This Steve Jones Show podcast is now loading. The Steve Jones Show podcast is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and NIL Game Changers. Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more, this is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, NIL Game Changers, and Sunbury Motor Company. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Opening half hour brought to you by NIL Game Changers. The ultimate destination for name, image, and likeness opportunities for both athletes and businesses. Visit NILGameChangers.org. So if I had my choice between the suit retiring and Glenn Mack now, I'd pick the suit. But unfortunately, the suit's keeping his job and Glenn's retiring. So this isn't right. The universe is all messed up. But Glenn, congratulations on that. I'm happy for you. Is this one of those mixed feeling things for you as the retirement part of it?
Yeah, I mean, and hey, Steve, thanks for having me on. I'm wistful. I've been doing this job at WIP for 31 years. I've been a member of the media for 47 years, and so when I decided in April I was going to retire and had other things I wanted to enjoy, I was ready to go. But as I am now, what's today, Tuesday, 5 days away from my last show. Yeah, it's a little sentimentality, no doubt.
Okay, so two parts. What will you miss, and what won't you miss?
I will miss the audience. Doing this job, that you connect with people in ways that, like, sometimes you don't even realize. I had somebody the other day to say, I was listening to you when I was in sixth grade, and I would listen in the car with my dad on the way to school, and my dad passed away a couple of years ago, but I've had you all those years. Like, things like that you don't even realize is the stuff that I know I will miss. I will miss, I think, kind of being in the know. Because yeah. As you know, you spend so much time, like, preparing for the show. You spend much more time prepping for it than you do know doing it. And I think I'm going to let that go and probably miss some of that. I will not miss the traffic going to and from Philadelphia Eagles games, which I have done every home game for the last 30 years and hate it every single time. And, in fact, I was the moment I decided to retire was when I was stuck in traffic heading home from an Eagles game last December.
Wow. What will it be like for you to go to a game as a fan?
Fun.
Yeah.
No cheering in the press box and all that. And I think you probably know also, when you do our job, part of watching the game is you're rooting for the story. You're looking for the angle.
Yeah.
You're really, as you're watching the game, analyzing it. I really want to be able to go to a game or watch a game from home, either way, and just kind of sit there and have it wash over me and not have to analyze every moment of it. That's going to be different, and I think I'm going to enjoy that.
The industry itself, Glenn, and you and I both have been in this a long time, where is the industry, in your opinion, advanced? And where are areas in the industry where it's not quite as good as it used to be?
We've certainly advanced in being able to focus, and it's not even necessarily what you're doing on your show, what I'm doing on our show right now, but most stations, I know WIP, has podcasts, and you can kind of get those for the audience that wants it. You have a baseball audience. We have a couple of baseball podcasts just for that. You can narrow focus very well. And I think that's certainly a good thing, because there are people who may not care shockingly, let's just say, for example, would never happen, but let's say somebody loves you, doesn't care about Penn State football, but they want to hear you talk about other things. So I think that's a good thing. I think that where the industry has not gotten better is that, to a degree, I think that it has become more hot takey.
Yes.
If that's a word.
Yes. Yep.
And I think that part of that is because of social media and the need to be more controversial than the last guy or the next guy.
Yeah. I would say where it's advanced is because of the internet. You and I have more information at our fingertips when we need it.
No question.
I think that to me is the biggest advancement, where it allows us to really, you talk about the preparation part, the research part of it is exponentially easier. You just have to weed out what's unimportant and what's important. And then I'm right on with you about the hot take part. And it's something in my sports broadcasting class here at Penn State. I talked to them about the hot take part of it. Because Rob Parker teaches the same course I do essentially at USC. And he does an entire thing about how great hot takes are. And I'm the opposite. I think hot takes are one of those, like, who cares? Should the Jets trade Aaron Rodgers? Well, I don't care. It doesn't matter to me.
Or just putting everything, what's the word I'm looking for? Just kind of this, Is this A or it's B? You know, it's black or it's white, and
there's
no shades of gray, and there's nothing in between, and if somebody is great or terrible. And the problem with hot takes is you may not remember your hot take from the week before, and you may have said this guy is a bum and we should trade him, and all of a sudden today he's the greatest player in the history of the sport. So, that is something that I see much more than I used to, and I don't love that part of it.
Jalen Hurts is the greatest. Goes into a slump. Jalen Hurts needs to be gone.
Right.
It's like, okay. What's it been like? There are seasons where teams struggle, and that will bring with it, by the way, more phone calls. And then there are seasons where it's been great. How much have you cherished the seasons, you know, as an analyst, but also because of how the city feels about it when the teams are playing great? Because there have been Super Bowl champions, a world championship in baseball, all this, you know, while you've been on the air.
By the way, the thing you said at the beginning is really true, which is its ratings are great when the teams are winning or when the teams are really bad or underperforming. Yeah. What you never want is that five, from a perspective of ratings, you never want the 500 team. You never want the team that's kind of meh.
Yeah.
It's amazing in this city, and I'm not a native to Philadelphia, but I've lived here now for 37 years. It is amazing how this city gets swept up and caught up in those great seasons, and everybody, people who are just not really fans or casual fans, all get swept up in it. That the first parade, you know, Philadelphia didn't win a championship from 1983 to 2008. 25 years, 100 exactly, 100 seasons of four sports teams not winning a championship. So when the Phillies finally won it in 08, 2 million people came to that parade, and it was like somebody had taken a giant magnum of champagne, shaken it on one of those paint shakers for 25 years, and finally released it, and it was phenomenal. And when the Eagles won their first Super Bowl, it was incredible. Those are the things that I will always remember and always cherish, and just being part of those great crowds of people and their enthusiasm was special.
Is there a show that you did that you look back on and you say, man, we really pulled it off tonight? We really pulled that off this afternoon, where, like, it was one of those, like, signature show kind of moments that it just turned out just right for not only you, but really turned out right for the audience.
I'll give you one. The night I was working nights back in the early part of the 2000s. And they were going to blow up Vet Stadium on a Saturday.
Yeah.
And I'm working Friday night. and 7-11, and of course you're doing the, you know, what was your favorite memory at Veterans Stadium growing up, or that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And early in the show, a caller said, gosh, I wish I could just go down there and see it one more time. And I thought to myself, what a great idea. So just kind of on the fly, I said, you know what? I get off at 11. The studio was about a 15-minute drive from the stadium. Mm-hmm. Anybody wants to meet me down there, we'll do a toast to the vet. And the next guy called up and he said, you know what, I'll come down, I'll bring a bottle of champagne. And the next guy said, I'll bring cigars. And callers throughout the show said, like, yeah, I'll do that. And the cops called. The Philly cops actually called and said, you know, we hear what you're doing. They were really good. They said, anybody wants to come down, just make sure you turn the corner and you park on, you know, Patterson Avenue. That'll be okay. And they were really cool about it. And I drove down there, and I'm seeing all these cars and people, and I'm thinking, this isn't for me, because I expected a dozen people.
Yeah.
Steve, there were 200 people came down from South Philly and Southampton and the suburbs and Jersey. And just kind of because we talked about it on the radio, and we toasted, we drank a lot, and we sang the Eagles fight song a few times and had a great time, and then stayed for about an hour, went home, and the next morning they blew up the bet. And that was one 20 years later I will always remember.
That when you get that kind of unexpected response, it kind of takes you back a little bit. You kind of take a step back and go, really? Like,
yes,
wow.
Because here's why. Because if you're like me, you do most of your shows sitting in a studio, looking at your producer through glass, assuming that people are listening, and you take callers, but you don't really know how you're impacting people in the moment, right? You don't see your audience. And so when something like that happens, it just really felt like, okay, I guess we connected this time.
Hmm. Will you take a vacation or a trip? And if so, if you don't mind us asking, where?
Well, I am, yes, I am planning to leave from my show on Saturday and go to Cape Cod for a couple of weeks through the end of the month.
You and me both. That's where I'm going to be next.
Where are you going to stay?
I'm going next to South Yarmouth.
Okay. We're in Falmouth. So there you go.
Okay. There you go.
We have a family place in Falmouth. I'm going to be here.
Nice.
And really one of my goals in retirement is to travel to a lot of places I haven't been. And so my wife is already getting pamphlets. And she thinks Greece is the next spot, and I have no reason to argue with her about that.
No reason at all. Yes, and enjoy Nobsco Lighthouse. Beautiful.
Absolutely.
That's right there in that point. It's beautiful.
Yeah, I know it well.
Yeah, I know. I can tell because you got that place. Boy, it's great. You got a place there. That's phenomenal.
It's a family place that we share, and we get July, which is pretty good.
Oh, that's really good. really good. All right. But I will get your opinion on a couple of things. You're still not out of the job yet. So let's start
five
with
more days.
So Phillies get 7 All-Stars out of this whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's a 162-game season, and they've suffered as many bumps and bruises as anybody else between JT, Trey being out, Bryce Harper, you know, and so forth. What has made this team, no matter what speed bump has been in front of them, allowed to just plow ahead? Why?
Well, if we can ignore the last three games, the starting pitching has been phenomenal all year. Wheeler has been great. Nola's rebounded from a bad year last year. Ranger Suarez has arguably been the favorite for the Cy Young. He's had a couple of rough starts now, which makes me a little bit nervous, but boy, he's been great all year. And Christopher Sanchez, as a fourth starter, has been, he's not going to make the All-Star game, but he's been All-Star worthy.
Yes.
So if you have four solid starting pitchers, you're never going to have a losing streak. And that's the thing that has, overall, the hitting's been good, the defense has been good, everything's been good. The bullpen's been surprisingly a revelation, but it's that starting pitching that has just been consistently best in the league.
And the other part about the starting pitching that's so important, is they eat up a lot of innings. The bullpen is not as taxed as it has been in recent years.
Last time I looked, which was maybe 2 weeks ago, the Phillies starters had thrown more innings than any in baseball. Mm-hmm. And that's exactly to your point. You don't have relievers, you know, who are going 2-3 days in a row.
All right. The Sixers, they get Paul George, and then they have the draft. They get the McCain kid from Duke, and then they get the kid from UCLA. What kind of offseason, in your opinion, have the Sixers had?
Really good. The thing is, I'm leaving, and they're going to probably finally win something. you know, I got to hope that the chemistry works out, and basketball is so weird that way. On paper, it looks like Paul George and Joel Embiid really could work together. Tyrese Maxey, maybe, you know, he was one of the top 20 players in the league this last year. Maybe he can even grow into the one of the top 10, 15 players in the league. So the only skepticism about the Sixers, to be honest, is whether Joel Embiid can step up his game in the postseason, which he has not done.
Right.
If he can do that and pull the other guys along, he's got the best supporting cast now that he's ever had.
Wow. All right, now we get to the Eagles. And that was at an event in Philadelphia back in May, and Saquon Barkley was there. He's excited about being there.
Yeah.
When you put him in combination with Brown, Smith, Hurts, Goddard, and so forth, how good potentially can this Eagles offense be?
Potentially terrific. Biggest question mark is going to be replacing Jason Kelce, but I do think they've got the guy lined up. But that's you're losing a Hall of Fame center who's going out on the top of his game. So I'm going to put that first because that's a big if.
Yep.
Second big if is if Jalen Hurts can rebound from what was a very subpar season, I believe caused in a good part, not entirely, but in good part by injuries. So all of that personnel sounds great, and you've got a new offensive coordinator in Kellen Moore who's going to call the plays, and I think will help Hurts' game a lot. So listen, I got real questions about the Eagles. You don't lose six of your last seven games and then just gloss over and say everything is going to be okay the next year.
Right.
But if you just take those names, their abilities, and those statistics, they could have a very dynamic offense.
Now we get to the defensive side of it. All right, this is where you have to stop people along the way. Have the young guys like Davis and Carter, they're at least a year older. They've been through it. But what about the secondary part of it to go in combination with them?
Well, that's a great question because there's so many new faces and they've got youth there.
Yeah.
They brought back C.J. Gardner-Johnson, played strong safety. I liked him before he left. I thought that was good.
Yeah.
Darius Slay is a year older. Played okay last year on one leg. Avante Maddox is typically hurt, so that's a problem. The interesting thing will be to see what they get out of some of the rookies. Cooper DeShean, I think, is going to be very good.
Yes.
But we have to see. We have to see what these guys do. The secondary is very, very untested.
I'm a big Cooper DeShean guy after watching him play against Penn State.
I imagine.
You know, I mean, and not only that, and I felt, by the way, I felt the Eagles' punt return game was really good last year. I mean, really good.
Surprisingly,
I mean, it was really good. This guy is a superior punt return guy because he's such a good athlete. So we'll see how it plays out. Hey, look, all the time you've given us over the years, I can't thank you enough because all you've done is enhance and make the show better. And great 5 days for you coming up, and enjoy a well-earned, not deserved, well-earned retirement because you are an absolute credit to this profession and you bring the word professional to the profession.
Well, listen, Steve, anytime you know your producer has called me and asked me to come on, it's always been my pleasure and always enjoy the interplay. And thank you so much for having me all this time and for all the nice things you've said.
Oh, you're in that too. Glenn, thank you so much.
All right, pal. Be well.
the great Glenn Macnow. Well, I'll tell you, whenever I hear somebody of that quality say, you know what, it's time. And no, and look, and people are entitled to say it's time. Okay? So, but the profession gets a bit poorer when somebody of that ability, that level of class, and relatability. And Glenn has all that. All right, in the next half hour, Keith Pompey. I did mention the Sixers. We're going to talk more about them. And I know that Todd, the suit wants me to ask 8 questions about Bronny James.
Eight?
Well, he sent me 8 questions about Bronny James.
Good heavens.
All right. Like, the first one is he related to LeBron? We'll come back more in a moment. This half hour brought to you by NIL Game Changers. Start your journey today at NILGameChangers.org here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
There's something to be said about a sale with a handshake. A service technician who really knows what he's doing. They can explain it in English what the problem is. There's nothing better than having that friend you could trust in the area. That's Sunbury Motors, where you get selection, knowledgeable salespeople, and prices that fit your budget, and more important, that friend you can trust. Welcome to Sunbury Motors, Kia, Ford, and Hyundai. You could shop other dealers and compare prices, but at Sunbury Motors, you get their lowest price promise. They research the current used vehicle market and guarantee their used car prices are the lowest. If you find a lower price, Sunbury Motors will beat it. 3 dealers all in one. See their full new and pre-owned inventory at sunburymotors.com. Pick out a vehicle you like and schedule your test drive online. Follow them on Facebook. Sunbury Motors Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
You want a unique way to display your brand. You need a team of seasoned experts to work with. You want to reach customers who buy. You want NIL Game Changers, a versatile consulting agency powered by former student athletes and coaches who work as NIL sports agents. NIL Game Changers will help you build powerful relationships with customers through compelling stories, with student athlete influencers as your leading edge. Finally, we'll equip you with the right media to drive your success home. NILGameChangers.org, building meaningful relationships with your customers.
Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and NIL Game Changers. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
This half hour is brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Auto, home, life, business, boat, motorcycle, RV. Yes, indeed. They do a great job of taking care of all your insurance needs. And we all have multiple insurance needs. And they do everything they can to save you money. Customer service means everything to them at Purdy Insurance. And don't forget, we're 29 days away from the Purdy Memorial Golf Tournament at the Susquehanna Valley Country Club to benefit the greater Susquehanna Valley YMCA. So sign your team up today. Signed up on our team is Keith Pompey joining us to talk about the Sixers NBA. How are you today, sir?
Hey, I'm doing well. Yourself?
I'm doing great. Thanks for asking. You've been asked a billion times about Paul George going to the Sixers, so I will make it a billion and one about the fit, in your opinion, of Paul George with Maxey and Embiid. How do you feel he fits?
I mean, I feel like he's a pretty good fit. I mean, because when you look at it, like, you know, you look at Paul George, you look at Maxey, you look at Embiid, you know, all three of them are different positions, right? You look at Paul George. He's a guy who brings it on the defensive end. You know, he's a standout wing. He can also handle the ball. And then you see Maxey, you know, a point guard, a combo guard, and Joel Embiid, a center. So I think it's a really good fit because, you know, these are three guys who should be able to coexist together because they all bring different things to the game. You know, so I look at Paul as a, you know, a quality defender, a quality wing defender who can help him out greatly.
Maxey got a terrific deal out of this because of how he's played. You've watched him all the time. Where has he made the improvements to allow us to see what we are seeing now?
Well, that's a great question. I think the biggest improvement is his ability to run an offense, right? You know, because when you looked at it before, you said, oh, there's no way in heck that this guy can be a quality point guard. Like, maybe he can be like, you know, a guy who can handle the ball at times, but you look at him and you say he can't run an offense. That was the big question mark. So that's been the major, I would like to say that's been the major improvement. We all knew that he could score points. We all knew that he can, you know, hit threes. But I think running an offense has been the biggest improvement that made him become an all-star.
Something that makes the championship teams like Denver and the Celtics is that, yes, they have stars, but the, quote, people that they fit in around them, and in the Celtics' case, it's Derek White, it's Drew Holiday, and then guys off the bench like Hauser and of course, Al Horford. The Sixers have not fit parts around their stars as well. So when you look at the draft, coming in from Duke and the big guy from UCLA, you know, what kind of fit can they be for this team?
You know, they can be pretty good fits. Now, the guy from UCLA, I don't really expect him to play a lot. Like, I'm looking at him right now. He's going to be the third-string center.
Right.
But his name is Bona, Adembona. But when you look at the guy from Duke, his name is Jarrett McCann. I look to him to have a vital role, to play a key role for them. Because he's a guy who can have that come off the bench, stretch a defense. You know, when Maxey's off the floor and other people, you know, you can spread the floor and try to see, let them go to work. But the thing is, the biggest role is when you look at the Sixers, when they had Jimmy Butler, they had J.J. Redick. You know, J.J. Redick was like the sharpshooter. I see him coming in and being that, coming off of screens, hitting shots. You know, so to me, that's his biggest role. Now, again, part of the problem is like him and Maxey, you know, that's a really, really small backcourt. So he's not going to start. He's going to come off the bench. But for right now, for a championship team, his best asset is his ability to shoot. And also, he's a winner. Like, he gets after it. But Bona, the guy, the center that they got in the second round, I don't – like, if you got to play him a lot of minutes,
I think
the Sixers may be in trouble.
Yeah,
and that's
not
a knock against him. But when you have Joel Embiid and you have Andre Drummond as your first two centers, you know, Bona's going to be a guy who, you know, an insurance policy, so to speak.
He's going to have a good view of the game, because it's going to be on the sideline. I thought Andre Drummond was a good pickup. What was your thought on that?
Oh, he was a huge pickup. And it's funny because after they traded him, it was weird. Like, they traded him, and then all of a sudden they go to the playoffs and Joel gets injured. And they're like, wow, here we go. Like, I mean, literally, Joel got injured that first playoff series, and then he missed the first two games, I believe, in that one, in the second round. So it's like, they've been trying to get him back since. I mean, they were, you know, this past season, they thought they had a trade for him, and it fell through in the final second. But him, you look at him, he's going to be a huge benefit, because the Sixers, when you look at the 76ers, they were a team who struggled mightily in rebounding. And you look at Andre Drummond, that's what he does. He's a great rebounder. Also, he's a starter level center. He's been a backup. He was a multi-time All-Star. But when he comes in there, it's kind of like you have a guy, you're not going to utilize him the same way you utilize Joel. But at the same time, you have a guy that, you know, it can still score points, can do things, and you don't have to worry about on the defensive end of getting abused and getting out rebounds and things like that. So he's a great pickup. As much as we talk about Paul George, don't get me wrong.
Right.
Paul George is huge. But when you look at Drummond and you look at the weaknesses that they've had when Embiid didn't play, being able to get that guy was extremely vital for the Sixers' success.
All right, I want to ask you now about the single most talked about second round pick in the history of the NBA. and I know you're in Salt Lake, all right, so you're not down in Vegas to see any of this live. But look, Dalton Connect was the Lakers' first round pick, and I thought that was a good first round pick, by the way. First round pick. Yeah, I agree. In fact, I'll go with you. I thought it was a great pick. So I have zero issue as to whether he was a second round pick, 55th overall. I mean, let's be realistic about what the NBA draft is. But he has so much hype around him. What's just your general thought on how it played out and where he is with his game?
You know, it's weird. Like, you know, you get it. Like, you understand, you know, a year ago. Let's go back a year ago, right, when LeBron said, hey, I would love playing with my son. And at that point, everyone knew that you had a sense. You didn't know, but you felt like the Sixers were going to draft him, right? I'm not the Sixers. I'm sorry, the Lakers. You felt like the Lakers were going to draft this guy.
Right.
But then all of a sudden, it's like this comes out, and it became – and I was at the pre-draft camp. Right, you know, in Chicago, and it became one of those things where no one cared about the other lottery picks or any of the lottery picks. It was all about him. I mean, he was the headliner. But then when the game came out, you look at it and you say, "Wow, he's struggling a little bit. I mean, he's not playing well." And then when we get to the draft and you get to everything and you're saying to yourself, like, you know, they're saying we don't want anybody else to draft them, this and that, da da da. And it's like, wow, this is a lot of hype for a guy who's typically a late second round pick. And now you go and you see how he's playing now, how he played in that one game, and he struggled. In a way, you feel sorry for the guy, but at the same time, you feel like he's being set up for failure. And what I mean by that is kind of like, you know, is the more that they talk about him, the more, like, money that he gets, the more that he's, like, being treated like a lottery pick, it's kind of sort of, in my opinion, could backfire on the kid. Because right now, like you said, think about it. Have you ever talked about a 55 pick from another team? I mean, not in Pennsylvania on your show? You know what I mean? So this is just one of those things where I feel like he's going to be set up. If everything that he does is going to be, dissected. And you know, every time they do stuff, like, for instance, he struggled. And they came out, and then what was it? Well, we don't care about what he does in Summer League. It doesn't matter. So, you know, it just seems like people are putting a bullseye on this kid. They don't realize it, but they are. They're putting a bullseye on him.
I agree with all of that. And the part about him, because I watched, because with USC coming into the Big Ten, I tried to take a little bit of time in the past season to take a look at Oregon, Washington, UCLA, and USC just to get at least a feel for them. That's like Bona, for example. I saw him play a couple times for UCLA. Well, that also meant that Bronny James played. And part about him I just can't tell is how much he was affected by the cardiac arrest and all the time that he missed. And I just don't know how that figures into what we're even seeing right now, because he hasn't really played a lot in the last year.
Yeah, and that's a good point, because, you know, you look at it and, you know, initially – when he made the McDonald's All-American game, right?
Yeah.
Before all that happened. You know, you're saying, wow, that's crazy. How did he make it? He's the 66th, you know, recruit in the country. So someone, he passed on up. But then in that game, he played well. Like, he actually played well in the McDonald's All-American game. Like, he wasn't a superstar, but he was knocking down threes, and it looked like, you know, he belonged, right? So then he has that, you know, the cardiac arrest, and then he's struggling. But, you know, it's weird, so we don't know. But at the same time, if it was another kid, I mean, we have to be honest with ourselves. With the stats that he put up, they would have said, hey, son, it's your best bet to stay in the draft. I mean, stay in school another year to prove yourself. But, you know, he didn't have to. So, you know, so, yeah, like, I don't know how much that impacted. But at the same time, you have to realize that he did get some special privileges because of who he is.
Right. And I think what you said is so spot on is, and it's part the Lakers, it's part LeBron, and it's absolutely part ESPN.
Oh, this, no doubt.
They're
no
setting
doubt.
Up. There's the, you're right. They're setting... they're setting him up for failure. He won't be able to do enough for anybody because of what's happened from those three entities that's not allowing him to be him.
Yeah, and that's the thing. I do believe that, too, because, you know, it's one of those things where, you know, in a perfect world, you get him, you know, you may give, you know, you give him his money, what have you, and you say, okay, he's going to be a couple years, he's going to be a project. He goes down to the G League, this and that. Now, who knows, that may be the plan. But the more media attention that he gets and the more that you got people up there vouching for him and saying stuff and then, you know, bringing up things like, hey, this isn't, you know, this is nepotism, but there's been nepotism in the league for years.
Yeah.
It's been this and it's been that and, you know, yada, yada. Now, listen, I'm just going to say this. I had some kids, some guys who I went to college with, and their fathers were, like, you know, CEO. One guy in particular, his dad was a CEO. And we all knew after he graduated that he was going to be, you know, a big wig in the business, right? But at the same time, he did. Now, who knows? I don't know what his grade point average was, but at the same time, he did graduate, right? He graduated, right, and he did stuff, and to this day, he's still a successful businessman. Mm. But he's been able to hold his own after that, right? So, to me, it's like when the ESPN and other people keep making these excuses, it's kind of like, well, why do we have to bring this up? Like, why are you making excuses? And secondly, you know, there's been other father-son tandems in the NBA, right? But, you know, they didn't make the excuses. I mean, you know, they didn't do it. I mean, think about it. Look at Steph Curry. We're talking about a kid, Steph Curry, whose father, Dale, was a great, you know, sharpshooter.
Sure was.
In this thing. Steph Curry, North Carolina, now, even though his dad was the man, North Carolina and Duke didn't even give him a scholarship.
That's right.
He goes to Davidson, and he made a name for himself, right? You understand what I'm saying? Like, so things like that happen. I mean, you look at Dominique Wilkins. He had his brother, Gerald Wilkins, had a son who ended up going to playing. I believe he played at NC State.
He did.
And then from there, he had a couple years in the NBA. So, you know, but nothing was built up the way this one was. Mm. And I think that the hype and making excuses, and sometimes it comes down to people want to stay in good grace. They don't want, like, LeBron. They don't want LeBron's camp saying, we don't want to deal with y'all. But what they'll do is they'll talk and they'll make excuses and say whatever they can just so when that something happens, they'll be one of the first people or first persons to get that text message. You know what I mean? So it is what it is, but at the same time, it's unfortunate because what they're doing is a lot of guys now, and y'all know it happens, you're going to go up against a guy who feels like he's been slighted, and they're going to go at this kid, and they're going to try to embarrass the kid. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's like the kid suddenly becomes a bullseye. And I'm going to tell you this. I was there in Chicago, interviewed him. He's the type of kid that when you talk to him and this and that, you are pulling for this guy. I mean, I was pulling for him, and I still am. I mean, he seems like a great young man. But you're right. All this attention is just putting a bullseye on the kid.
Final question. It's not going to be about him. You go to a summer league. You go to a summer league game with that trained eye of yours, Keith. What do you look for in a summer league game? Fans are looking for something. What are you looking for, if anything?
You know, it's crazy. I remember the first time I was there, I was like covering it like it was an NBA game, and the other reporters were like, dude, what are you doing? Half of these guys aren't going to be here. Like 80% of them. So a lot of times I look at it and see what a guy worked on, right? You know, like for instance, Ricky Council yesterday was phenomenal, and he played well, you know. Coming out, he made 5 of 10 threes. Beforehand, that wasn't a strong suit of his when he got drafted a year ago.
That
tells me how much work he put in on his game and how, you know, it's not. So it's things like that I look at. I look at, the guy, Jared McCann. He's supposed to be a shooter. He came in as a shooter. Now, his shot wasn't falling, but I was looking to see, how could he run an offense, the tenacity he brings, you know, other things that he can do on the floor. Now, again, the competition level isn't going to be as good as it is, not even in the preseason, right? Mm-hmm. But those are the type of things that you want to see. And a lot of times when you got a first-round pick, are they going to dominate? Now, there was a kid who went from Philadelphia who went to Kentucky. Now, he was an undrafted guy, but he was one of the nation's top recruits the year before. And you look at him, and you want to see aggressiveness. You don't want to see a guy who's just fitting in. And unfortunately, he didn't show that. He was just trying to fit in. So those are the things that you look at more so than points. It's just that if it's a veteran, a first-year guy or second-year guy, what did he work on in the offseason? The other guy, what can he do when his shot isn't falling? Can he lead an offense? Can he still put an imprint on the game? And then those other guys who have question marks, you want to see them be aggressive. So those are the things that I look for. The games are really, you know, meaningless to me. The score of the game, rather.
Right.
But it's what they do individually.
Yeah, there was Justin Edwards, probably the Kentucky guy, right?
Yeah. I'm sorry for not naming him.
No. That's fine. Just so everybody knows, if you win the summer league, you don't get a parade. And the competition in practice, when they get to the preseason, just in practice, is going to be better than this. All right, so.
Oh, exactly. Yeah, exactly right. No, before I go, I just want to say, I remember my first summer league. I'm looking at these guys. I'm seeing all these dudes, you know, who came in from overseas and were ex-NBA players. And I'm like, hey, this is going to be great. And I'm like, well, how come they ain't playing? And the guy said, man, they just got them there for practice. Like, they just practice players. And I was like, oh, so this is what summer league is like. They're like, yeah, dude, that's all it is.
Yeah, that's all it is. It's televised practices. All right.
Exactly.
Keith, always a pleasure. Great perspective. Appreciate you so much.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I appreciate being on the show. All right, bye-bye.
Outstanding Keith Pompey, Philadelphia Inquirer. And next half hour, Neil Coulong. And then in the final half hour, we'll hear from Giancarlo Stanton's agent. No, he's not.
And maybe his travel agent to get him out of town.
Oh, the just so wrong. Yet is it possible you're so right? Here on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Purdy Insurance.
Party time, game time, or just fun time. Doesn't matter what time it is, because it's Brewers Outlet time. The Beverage Supermarket has the area's largest beer selection. Imports, microbrews, ciders, and domestics. Pick from over 100 ice-cold 12-packs and dozens of 24-ounce singles. Soda, snacks, hot sauces, fresh roasted peanuts. Make it one-stop party shopping, and don't forget the pickle bar. So whatever you're celebrating or just doing it up, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, wants to see you. And thank you for your years of patronage.
Hi, this is Season. For over 100 years, the Purdy Insurance Agency has been protecting families and businesses of the greater Susquehanna Valley and beyond. With the experience of our trained and knowledgeable staff, you can rest assured that your needs will be evaluated and met by some of the industry's best representatives. No matter what your insurance needs are, call Purdy Insurance today at 570-286-5855. Visit our website at purdyinsurance.com or check us out on Facebook to see what we can do for you.